Well, the county specifically said that annexation is not requisite to integration of San Juan Island EMS and Fire District 3. They said that, you know, just what we're discussing today, a local agreement would suffice. No problem.
Well, in their implementation plan, annexation is the number one recommendation.
But not the only one.
Well, right, but it's, however, it is the first recommendation that the first step is annexing town into the fire levy and then conducting a lid lift for fire for EMS services. My concern here is that this contract jumps the line in terms of things that need to happen. And I don't want to feel like any of us are attacking each other here. I think that we all really care about healthcare in our community. We care about this agency a lot, and we want to see this done right so it succeeds. What I'm concerned about is that if we don't follow the steps that include the public, then the annexation isn't going to pass. The lid lift may not pass, and potentially an EMS levy may not pass. We've been there before, and I don't want to see that happen again. And so, you know, what does it matter if we wait? We have 2 years, more than 2 years, to complete this process. And so what does it matter if we wait for town to handle their annexation and their vote and offer our support to that? I don't understand what the rush is on this. My concerns are that this contract went from 90-day terms to 1-year terms for getting out of it, and now it's at 18 months. And I'm on this board, you know, for 4 more years after this. The rest of you didn't run for re-election. This is on me. This is on them. And it's so important that we have a voice in this and that we can steer and lead our community in their best interest. And I have real concerns that the way this contract is written, it leaves all the control with the fire department and all of the liability on EMS. I haven't seen a budget. I haven't seen a proposal for, you know, what the lid lift is going to cost. I haven't seen an operating and capital budget. I haven't seen any information that would determine the amount of the new levy. We need more information about how we're going to sell this to the public, because town is already paying for fire services, right? So how are we going to convince them to pay more for something that they already have? That's a big deal. So we don't have a contingency plan right now for if annexation fails. And I'm concerned that then if this ILA is signed, then we have taken representation away from everyone in town for EMS services. And you can say they're represented by town and town council, but they honestly have no leverage or representation over the fire department. And I was elected to represent the public. I take that very seriously. And I don't feel that I could sign a contract that would take away representation of, what, about 1,200 voters, let alone all those households.
Just as an added piece of information, and this is to you, Nathan. During the CAG meeting, did you guys ever discuss the fire town, when Fire District 3 took over the town on contract? In that contract, it says they will go after annexation. That contract is now 10 years old, and not once in those 10 years has there been a discussion about annexation, fire town. So, 0% over the last 10 years.
Until now.
Well, no, it hasn't happened yet. It doesn't happen until next April. You don't know. And they haven't done it before. They don't have to do it if they don't want to. That's a pie in the sky. Oh, this is going to be nice because they're going to do it. They haven't done it when they said they would do it over the last 10 years. I don't expect them to do it now.
Well, they're different people.
So my point being is there anything in this contract that we're going to help the town and fire to do that? The answer is no.
No, not in this contract.
Not in this document at all.
Yeah.
But again, that's a consideration between Fire District 3 and the town. Hang on a second. Now, sure. The stage is mine. And the CAG is, you know, also, as I said before, showed that the modification of the existing interlocal agreement between the town and Fire 3 is very doable. Matter of fact, they even said easily doable. So it's not like we have to rush and push like crazy this annexation. The annexation can be delayed, as it has been already for 10 years, as you cited.
Well, and to speak to Annalisa, your comment as well, I mean, yeah, there is a contingency. If the town chooses not to annex, they just have to continue with the contract and renegotiate the contract, because now if it's the fire district providing both EMS and fire services, mm-hmm. it changes the terms of the contract. So, I mean, that's the contingency.
Sure, but then I've signed away any representation for everyone in town.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily, you represent the people in town in terms of the levy for emergency services, but you don't represent the people in town for their contract with Fire District 3.
Nor do you with the Sheriff's Department.
Well,
the same
actually,
thing.
Because I have signed away my authority in this ILA, I don't actually represent anyone.
I think that's confusion. You don't sign away
that's
your authority.
Correct.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, on the contract, page 9, exhibit B, it says there's an organizational structure.
What exhibit is it?
Which contract
the
are we
latest,
talking about?
Version 2,
latest.
The latest.
The one with the 10-10 on it?
Is it version 2 or version
10-10,
three?
That's correct.
3. 3.
3. 1, 10-10, 2019. Page 9, the last page. Exhibit B, organizational
structure. I had to add the page numbers this morning.
Yeah.
Is that
okay? No. Oh, I.
Okay. So you see that you do have a role there. It says, for those that don't have it before them, the first line says the public. Directly underneath that, it says the San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1. That will be you and the future board, and I would say the current board. Underneath that is the fire district, the chief executive officer, the fire chief, and then he's assisted by the assistant chief of fire division and assistant chief of the EMS division.
Right, but I have no HR responsibility over the fire chief. Like, he answers to the fire board. He doesn't answer to the public hospital district board.
Yeah,
and yet I'm still liable for any health care that is practiced at the time out in the field. You can see my concern about liability here.
Yeah, are you familiar with the liability insurance that covers the board?
Sure, but don't you think that our board has a lot of issues at hand that are liabilities that we're dealing with at this time, considering the CLE and all these other things that we are responsible for? Why would I add another thing?
Well, so jigsaw puzzles come together one piece at a time, and this is a jigsaw puzzle. And what we have before us is a very limited 2-year contract, $24,000. And it's dealing with administrative integration. That's all. It's not talking about the other gestalt. It's just saying this is what we're focusing on. And that is really, I think, where we need to focus our discussion today.
So what's the rush, though? Like, why isn't there the sense of we've started this process, it's rolling in the best direction, We've set it up for success, so why not let the incoming board handle this? Why is this such an urgent thing that cannot wait a few months?
I don't see any overall urgency.
Should we just shelve this then?
Please let me speak my piece.
Sure, of course.
Of course. You know, as we've discussed earlier, this is a 3.5-year continuum that has ramped up in complexity, and ramped up in performance, and ramped up in terms of demonstrating the talents of the people at play. You know, just looking at the talents inherent with Chief Collins, you know, if you look at his CV, I don't know, have you looked at his CV?
I have no question that he is fully qualified at all. I have no doubts about his leadership.
Yes or no answer to my question. I'd be looking to see.
I read it when it was published in the paper when he was first hired. Actually, you presented this in the file today with other things, but I haven't had a chance to read it because I didn't get that until I arrived here today.
And to kind of answer your question, the thing that excites me is that I think our timing is really pretty good. It's kind of optimal, if you ask me, because we're looking at the fact that the EMS levy expires in 2022, mm-hmm. which means it has to go out for about 2021 mm-hmm. numbers. Okay, so 2021 is when that vote has to go up. Mm-hmm.
2 years from now.
So 2 years from now. But again, we can... If we take the term of this contract and we say we're dealing with the administrative oversight, which gives us the ability to do that long-range planning, to figure out how we're going to put the pieces in place, we've got some really good people who are there. I mean, I looked and I said, okay, well, let's look at some of the qualifications. And I looked at Commissioner Cardinale, 30 years with San Francisco Fire Department. Retired as an assistant deputy chief. And of course, you have to understand with these big agencies, when you're dealing San Francisco Fire, Seattle Fire, any of these guys, they're fire EMS, they do emergency services. Mm-hmm. All these guys are firefighter EMTs. Mm-hmm. So Frank ended up as the training officer for the city of San Francisco on their fire department. He was the guy in charge of training. He understands it. Norvin, same kind of thing. He has been a paramedic for 30 years. He's got, he came out of, Rebecca, help me with the name of the valley. Tahlequah?
Oregon Valleys.
I'm sorry?
Oregon Valleys.
Tuba?
Yeah.
It's Tuba, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's the outside the Portland metro area. It's the largest combination department in the state of Oregon.
Geographically?
And, yes.
Not.
In terms of numbers, I don't know. I didn't look at the
1,600 people
at the numbers.
Very sparse county.
It's a big area. Lots of, but he came out of the Executive Fire Officer Program, which is based out of the nationally. Really, like 4-year program,
I
really
have
qualified.
No qualms about that.
And I understand. And I guess again, where I'm coming from is I think we have a real opportunity here. We've got some players involved who. The term I use when I'm talking with as we started our public outreach and as I'm dealing with the Integration Steering Committee, I use the term that we're in our adolescence. We're, in terms of an agency, we're not dealing with 500 calls a year anymore. So we're not just kind of, you know, we're not Mayberry, that's for sure. But we're not the big boys either. We're not grown up. We're not Seattle Fire. We're not San Francisco. Well, we never will be. Mm-hmm. So we're in this kind of awkward adolescence where when we were dealing with 300, 500 calls a year and we had a volunteer force and the tones went out, employers weren't quite as, I mean, they said, hey, go, you know, go do that. When you're dealing with 1,100, 1,200 calls a year and those tones go out, the employers are going, wait a minute, you just went. Mm-hmm. So we're having trouble doing that, and so we're in this awkward adolescence. You'll see it in a lot of the publications, that space for between 1,000 calls a year and 3,000 calls a year, mm-hmm. is really difficult to manage, mm-hmm. because you can't really go to a fully paid staff, fully staffed emergency services organization, and you can't really do it just as volunteers alone. So you have this combination going.
But you're already working
can I,
together.
Can I make a comment?
Please.
I hate to interrupt, but it seems like it's kind of flowing. So I think the same players are going to be around in 3 months, who you're talking about, right? They're not going anywhere, the fire commissioners. I feel really stymied because we're a new public hospital district coming in, and we'd like to get to know everybody before all this is already happening. So it'd be great to get on board with why the different decisions were made in the contract, what else needs to be here. When I looked at the organizational structure from the thing I got, the public hospital district wasn't even in it. It's not on my sheet. So I don't know when that got added, but if you take a look, it's not the public hospital district's not on there. So anyway, I think somewhere in here, I feel a little bit like the relationship between the public hospital district and what's going on needs to be strengthened in discussion. And like Annalisa sort of pointed out, is that to feel like we both have say in things. It doesn't feel like from this contract, it seems like the public hospital district could have a great relationship with fire, or they could not. It doesn't matter because the public hospital district isn't really, they're going to have to do their job regardless of whether they're treated well or treated badly. So to me, it's sort of, the timing seems to me like, oh, we're afraid of the transition, like what's going to happen with the new hospital district board? But it would be really nice if we could just wait keep working on it for 3 months and just get to know each other better so that it feels like it's still a working relationship. It's not just rushed through before I even know what most of this means. So I know we've had meetings, and it's great that you've reached out, and that's great. But it is in 1 month, all you guys, most of you guys are gone in 1 month, right?
6 weeks. And I would love to chime in, because one of the things I really appreciate about you, Chief Kutzing, is your enthusiasm for this. I'm enthusiastic about the integration. I think it's a great idea. I'm not hearing any objection to the integration at all. It's the process that concerns me and ironing out of some details. And I may be a bit naive about the interlocal agreement, but it's still it's a contract. So this contract gets signed, four of you go away, and we now have four new people, and I think there may be some more thought. I'm not saying it was thoughtless at all, but I think perhaps more thought could be put into some of these details. And overriding, I see no opposition to the integration at all. It's a good idea. And I think, can I speak for all of us?
No, you can't.
No.
After you're sworn in. So.
No, I'm not saying all of you, but Kyle's not here. But there's no opposition to this at all.
I mean, and that's very, very encouraging, yeah. Because I think we all see that,
yeah.
In terms of where we're trying to go, because the opportunities are really great, and what really excites me is the fact that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can talk to some people who have some expertise in this, and I can see some real benefit in helping us go from that that awkward tween to maybe being 16 or 17, having a little bit, ready to drive but not ready to vote.
And I appreciate that analogy very much, but we're talking about very specific contractual.
I understand. I understand.
So another document.
And there's a lawsuit, and there's all kinds of stuff going on that seemed like it'd be great to wrap some of that up or have a better handle on that before moving forward. Handing it to a public hospital district board that's going to have to deal with those things without much say over budget and all those other things, seems like.
Well, some of the budgetary considerations, the big hit we just realized here within the last week is a SID, and that's a heavy hammer, and all the more reason why we should be willing to rely on the expertise and the talents of Fire 3. To sort out budgetary things. I think that I attended the last Fire 3 meeting, and I was wrote on the agenda, the talents of Chief Collins are outstanding, and we want some of that as a PhD and as an EMS. The other point I want to make is that I live with the subsidy agreement. I was a co-chair of Peace Island Medical Center. Spent 6.5 years of my life, 9 months hammering through the subsidy agreement with talent on both sides of the table, starting with the attorneys Stu Hennessy and Brad Berg. And we always periodically brought up, okay, this seems to be set in stone, but it's really not. It's a living document. And indeed, have struck 3 amendments to the subsidy agreement since 2012. The same thing could happen in short order, frankly, with the new board being seated in 2020. What we do have at hand with the draft agreement, I think it's an excellent one, is a great starting point. And I can't imagine if you started over, putting together an agreement, whether it's an ILA or a memorandum of understanding or whatever, it would be in a substantial way different than what we have at hand here.
I wouldn't necessarily start over.
No,
I would just
but
make this
I'm
one
saying,
better.
You know, you could use this contract and just make amendments. I mean, it's easy. It's
Except there's easy no to power to make amendments from. It's all from the PhD at all. From what I can see, there's no power to change anything without FHIR saying, "Oh yes, we." You know, so there's no say from the PhD in this.
Well, certainly there's say, and I have a feeling that FHIR would be very flexible.
That's true.
If you came up with a different point of view, or a different proviso that they felt powerful, because you need that. You know, it's a two-way concert, so to speak. That would be easy to strike. So, and we did that. We've done that three times with Peace Health. That is, you know, a one-day discourse and a little processing by attorney, and the next day you have a new
right,
spin
to the contract.
But you
still have jurisdiction over the contracts, not like
well,
in
I
this
think,
particular
I think there's
situation.
Confusion about the contracts. We're talking about this ILA, which is an administrative-only ILA. The PhD still has authority, full financial decision authority. You still, the EMS will run the same. Everybody will report to Carl. Everything will be the same. All the contracts will be the same. All the liabilities, I mean, it will be PhD. The only change is going to be a contract with FHIR for leadership. He doesn't have any say over the PhD's finances or their policy decisions or any of their standards that they want to do. PhD retains that. The reason that the steering committee thought this ILA would be a good starting point, a first step in the process, is because, and it's supposed to be 6 months, not 18 months, so but we can.
Oh, it got changed.
No, well, that's, excuse me.
That was a mistake.
Was a mistake?
This is a draft. You see, that's what drafts are. So you go through them and you find mistakes or you make changes or you compromise. And that's what this is a draft. But aside from that, it was an error. But even if it was a year, the point is,
so
we just
on that, like that's it says 6 months termination, and then with the first 12, so that part is a mistake. Oh,
so the point is that you still retain control. You still retain control of everything.
Well,
the reason we set it up like that and thought it was a good idea is because that gives, and in fact, Everett made this comment at the last meeting, it's like a marriage. It gives you a dating period. You can work together for 6 months, operationally see how things work out, talk about finances in the future, talk about putting things together, have the troops start working together and having one leader to go to and having it start to be standardized. If it doesn't work, it's a done deal. You're out of it. If you wait, and you wait until all these other things in place, you can't get out of it. Because the voters would vote in the levy, boom, you're stuck with it. Or you have the supervisors and all of that issue. You have a year and a half or 2 years, plus the CAG even recommended 2 years, and then they said you could probably get it done in a year and a half. In fact, I think Rick Fraser said that at the April 2nd meeting. He said, I see no reason why you couldn't get it done in a year and a half. Well, even if you look at the 2 years and you start backing up things, you can't wait. You can't even, I mean, I'm not saying instantaneously, but you start backing it up, which is what we did at the steering committee. Okay, we have to do this if we want it done in 2 years. We got to have a ballot at this point. In order to have the ballot, you got to have things on the ballot at a much earlier point. In order to do that, you got to have some kind of an agreement before that. And so we started backing it up and saying, we need to start the process now. And the process gives you a chance to test it. None of the stuff that Warren was talking about or you're talking about changes. None of it changes. The new board will have total control of the successor agreement, which will be another ILA that says, here's how we're going to transfer equipment. Here's how we're going to transfer people. Here's what we're going to do with all the liabilities. Here, all the things that you guys are worried about, that is what the successor agreement does. That's not what this agreement is.
So, go ahead. So, what I'm hearing is this is just an opportunity, a legal opportunity, a legal agreement, and I'm guessing binding, as it's a contract, a legal document, that FHIR and EMS will start working together and you will report to Chief Norman.
And yes.
Is that, okay.
Well, my role gets kind of, yes, I work with Chief Collins because he's going to provide the, you know, my input will come. Here's what we should be doing operationally. Here's what we should be doing financially. I've got ambulances that need to be replaced. I've got cardiac monitors that we need to start. And he'll go, okay, I see where you're coming from. Here's the overall picture. We can do this. We'll prioritize that. So that comes in, right?
And
but I'm still answering through Chief Collins because he reports back to PhD. He'll be
Chief so Collins. Will
Chief report. Collins, instead of being Chris Compton, who usually sit here and report to the PhD every month, it'll be me and Chief Collins making those reports. What's in those reports, per this ILA, is it says two members from the PhD will define what they want to hear from Chief Collins. One member from the fire district will decide what they want to hear from Chief Collins. And that's how our reports will be. So, yes.
And this is for 6 months, is it? Not 18
months.
Six months.
I can't speak for the rest of the board, but it was an error, so the draft would come out. Now, obviously, we have to hammer this all out, but my view is 6 months.
6 months.
Okay. If it's less than 6 months, it's a lot of work and it's mm-hmm. a lot of effort to do it less than that time
okay.
frame. So it's like that time frame. So it gives them a chance to work together.
So 6 months is the amount of time then
that you
for the ILA?
Yes.
Is that what you all?
The ILA is a 2-year contract, but you can terminate it if you feel in 6 months you want to terminate and you want to get out, you can, if either party does.
And within that first initial 6 months, you
yes.
can also strike amendments.
So, but currently the way this yes. particular contract is written, there's no ability to terminate
yes.
right
yes,
now.
There is.
And also, I think the marriage analogy is a little bit inaccurate because this isn't like we're dating because we are giving financial jurisdiction over to the fire
chief.
No, we're not.
Oh, see, my hearing
no,
is,
no, not.
I'm hearing that we're not.
You're not.
Correct.
Is that,
you don't lose
any. You stay. PhD. Fire and PhD stay separate. It's
right, but we have no jurisdiction over the fire chief, and so
well,
therefore we have no jurisdiction over our budget and our finances.
No.
Because
no.
the fire chief answers to his board, he doesn't answer to this.
But the fire
but he
chief
deal
doesn't
with our
set
budget.
Your budget.
That's the point.
So
you set your budget.
He's an advisor
in section five.
Okay.
Take a look at Section 5. The hospital district and fire districts are independent municipal governments. The hospital district and the fire district recognize and agree that the hospital district and the fire district are independent governments, except for the specific terms herein. Nothing herein shall be construed to limit the discretion of the governing bodies of each party. 5.1, policy and financial governance. The hospital district and the fire district shall retain full independent governing authority as defined under RCW, over their respective organizations, except as authorized. So, I mean, that was the intent, is that the PhD maintains full control over being able to pass the budget,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because if Chief Collins says, I think we should do it this way, because I'm looking at the big picture and how we fully integrate, and you guys say, I don't agree with you, ultimately, you still maintain control of the EMS budget for the duration of this agreement.
Of this agreement.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
We're just contracting. This would be just contracting with fire for administrative leadership. It is not changing anything. It's not changing the way we do business. It's what right now with the fire chief and Carl and Norman and the people and other people in the organizations are spending a lot of time trying to help each other. Well, they can't continue to do that. I mean, we're paying Carl to spend time doing things, you know, trying to organize stuff with fire, and they're paying Norman to do the other side. We have to get it to the point where it makes sense. They're getting some reimbursement for it. We have a reason to do it, and we have one leader that can actually look at the whole picture.
So it's just for administrative purposes?
Just
for administrative
purposes.
That's all
it is.
Okay.
That's
it.
Okay.
So, and you have control next year when you're in office and Annalisa to write the contract, the next ILA that will put everything together. Because it can't all go together overnight. It has to come
in pieces. And you wouldn't want it to.
No.
Even though the CAG alluded to that, sort of the Big Bang, you know, that's a bad idea. First
well,
of all,
they said it was a bad idea, I think. So.
Well, I'm saying it's a bad idea. It's for sure. So complex.
And it's still
to liquidate this building, Everett, you know, to figure out who owns what in terms of the car ranges. Do we get rid of the rescue cars? I mean, that's just, you know, I wouldn't want to address that as a PhD commissioner.
There.
But the administrative part is much more streamlined. And it gets it under one leader, and that's ultimately what you're going to have to resort to. And that's a huge benefit, particularly when then the offerings on the fire side are so frigging talented. I mean, they're just gushing over with talent, and frankly, we could very well benefit by that. So,
I think Carl's qualified too.
Well, I'm not saying that he's not.
We've developed some expertise for our island, and there's a lot of people who've been here for a long time, and we understand the uniqueness of our island, and that should not be discounted. But I think we do have an opportunity to kind of help us morph into something better.
I have to correct something I said earlier. I said 3% of the time. It's actually 1/3 of 1% that we've had this contract in front of us, as opposed to the 7 or 8 others that keep flying by, and some are drafts, and some people don't know where this one came from and what happened there. That's less, I mean, I don't feel good about that. I think that...
Well, that's the nice thing, that we don't have to take action today. That's the whole idea behind this work.
Yeah.
Is we're not taking action.
Okay, let's get into the contract itself.
Can I ask one more?
Well, wait a second. Trish wants to say something.
I guess what I'm hearing is there's a whole lot of misunderstanding about this contract. Would that...
Yes.
And that there hasn't been time for this board to go over the details of it to clear up misunderstanding.
That's why we're here.
We just got it on Friday.
Okay.
That's why we're here. That's the confusion of so many drafts. But that's why we're in workshops, because you can't speak outside.
Gotcha. And I do get that loud and clear.
Yes.
So it just seems like there needs to be more opportunity, more than just like one meeting or two meetings, to really go over this so that people can hear and listen and give feedback to become clear about all the details of this before it's signed. I mean, that's all. I mean,
I think,
does that make sense?
I think if we start going through it, I think we can, I mean, I think that you'll see that it's pretty simple. There's, you know, there's just not a lot to it. I mean, we can go through each paragraph and we can talk about it, and if it takes two meetings, it takes two meetings, so you're right, but I mean, it's like, we can start going through it and we can figure it out. I think the first thing is you have to realize what it is. It's not full integration. It's not even partial integration. All it is contracting for administrative services as a first step, so that we can start understanding how the operations are going to work, and then you guys get to figure out how the next step is. And the next step is integration.
And this was constructed by two attorneys, Joe Quinn, who specializes in these kinds of integrations, and also Richard Davis, who has experience with it. So, right, we have some talented individuals who are involved with this document.
So, but we have this 4.2, which is not correct, apparently.
That's why we have to go through it all.
Sure, and we had some feedback from the union and the employees, and I'm wondering how those concerns are being addressed.
I think they've been incorporated. That's my understanding.
At 1.5, they were incorporated. Carl worked with them. Carl, you can see that.
Yes.
Satisfaction?
I have a suggestion. Let's just start at the top instead of jumping around 1.5, 7.3, and just go down the contract.
Sure.
I think this should, instead of being an interlocal agreement, it should be intergovernmental. It's two governmental bodies coming together. That is under 3934. You can have that. It demonstrates that we're doing it.
Yeah. Our attorney said the title of the agreement is an interlocal agreement under RCW 39.34, 39.34, Interlocal Cooperation Act deals with agreements between governments, and this is the correct title. So he's referring back to an RCW, and that's what this is. So I think we have to stick with what the state.
Okay. I would suggest, if we're going to talk about Fire District Number 3, as they are defined under RCW Title 52, Fire District.
May I suggest we're all on the same page with this document with the pink highlighting?
It's a 1010.
All right, and I'm.
Wait, I've got two with pink highlighting.
Yeah, it's the one that is.
Which one am I using?
The pink highlight just means it's the current version.
Well, okay.
The red marks is what he's talking about in the text.
Oh, it doesn't show the changes.
So I'd like to call a 5-minute break for personal reasons, and I'd like to extend those to the rest of you folks. So.
Five-minute break.
Five-minute break.
Okay.
I am.